विषयाविनिवर्तन्ते निराहारस्य देहिनः रसवर्ज्यं रसोप्यस्य परं दृष्ट्वा निवर्तते। भगवद्गीता 2.59। विषया विनिवर्तन्ते। Krishna is continuing to answer Arjuna's questions and he is describing how the self-realized person, the Sthita Prajna, controls the senses, keeps them under discipline. This is the answer to the continuation of the answer to the question, Kimasita. So, 55 was the answer to Kabhasha. Kim Prabhasheta was answered in 56, 57, and 58 to 63 will be the answer to Kimasita. So, in the previous verse, Krishna talked about withdrawing the senses the way a tortoise withdraws its limbs. Now, in this verse, Krishna points out to a weakness of that strategy and then also tells about how to fix that weakness. In this world, whenever, say, a war is fought, a particular strategy is adopted. So, that strategy has its strength, but its strategy also has its weakness. So, in the Mahabharata war, say, when they would form a particular formation, either the Kauravas or Pandavas, that formation had strength, but then it also had some weaknesses, and the opponents would try to attack on those weaknesses. So, those weaknesses, when the strategy is used, one has to be aware and one has to deal with it. So, for example, when a cricket team decides to have a lot of spinners, and then if the wicket is spinning, then that is an advantage. But if the opponent has a very good spin batsman, then that same strategy can become a disadvantage. So the point is, while adopting any strategy, one cannot just one has to be aware of the limitations of that strategy. So Krishna is pointing out here the limitation of the strategy of withdrawing the senses. And he says that Vishaya Vinivartante. So Vishaya, Krishna uses the word, the same as, which essentially means the same as Indriyarthebhyo. Indriyartha is sense objects, Vishaya is sense objects. Vinivartante. Vinivartante means to stay away from, to give up. So Vinivartante is Samharate, was there in the previous verse. So basically one stays away from the sense objects. Then Niraharasya Dehinaha. So the embodied soul feels as if I am being Nirahara, I am fasting, I am starving. Generally, the word fasting is used to refer to a conscious choice. That means that, okay, there is some today sacred day or some, I have to do some medical test or I want to decrease my weight. So I am choosing to fast. So whenever there is a conscious choice because of some purpose, that we used to refer to it as fasting. Whereas starving usually refers to being undernourished because of circumstances. Either one is too poor to get some food, or there is a famine, or one is for some other reason, one is in a position where one can't eat. So, niraharasya. So actually, in the embodied stage, when the soul is dehinaha, the embodiment creates not just the hunger of the belly, but our embodiment creates a hunger of the senses also. When the soul comes in a particular body, then the soul starts craving for sense objects corresponding to that particular body. So, for example, a male starts craving for females. Female starts craving for males. So, looking at the form of the attractive sense object, looking at the hearing the voice, feeling the touch. Now, all these, there is almost like a hunger. Just as when there is hunger, we feel there is something empty, there is something missing, and I need to fill it. Now, of course, the difference between the biological hunger and the sensual hunger. Biological hunger means that the hunger of the stomach is that the hunger of the stomach needs to be fulfilled for survival, whereas the sensual hunger doesn't need to be fulfilled. We can say no to the senses, and it's not that we are going to die. If we don't look at beautiful objects, if we don't hear sweet sounds, if we don't eat delicious foods, we are not going to die. If we don't eat food, we will die. But if we just don't eat delicious food, we will not die. So, the sensual hunger doesn't have to be pandered to all the time. Or it doesn't have to be pandered to, for that matter. Whereas the biological hunger, the hunger of the belly, needs to be attended to. Now, at a subjective level, the sensual hunger feels as irresistible, if not more, than biological hunger. Sensual hunger comes as an urge. Yes, I want it and I want it now. Niraharasya. So one feels that. One feels incomplete. One feels impelled by the sense of incompleteness to get that object. So, rasavarjam. And now, rasavarjam means, okay, this all, the person is feeling that niraharasya, feeling starved. But the person decides, I will not take it. Rasavarjam. I will not engage in it. But still, rasopyasya. One decides not to engage in the sense gratification, but still the taste for sense gratification remains. So here there is an alliteration of the words rasa. Rasavarjam, rasopyasya. The word is used twice. The first rasa refers to the indulgence, the physical act of sense gratification which gives some pleasure. So rasavarjam means one decides that one will not engage in that sense gratification. But still, the second rasa refers here to the desire, the craving, the hunger. So, he says, rasopyasya, that asya, that remains. The action may be checked, but the passion, the obsession, the infatuation, that is not checked. That does not go away. And that creates dissatisfaction. So, the action is not there, but the obsession is there. And when the obsession is not fulfilled through action, then there is a dissatisfaction. So that because of that dissatisfaction, one feels niraharasya. And what is the solution to this? Paramdrishtva nivartate. So, vinivartante was what started the verse. And vishaya vinivartante. And nivartate. Paramdrishtva nivartate. So, vinivartate means one is giving up the sense objects. But one is endeavoring to and giving up. But nivartate means one becomes situated in that renunciation. One is no longer agitated. So, how does that happen? Paramdrishtva. Now, param refers to higher, drishtva refers to sight. So one once gets a higher sight, then one becomes peaceful. Now, what does this param drishtva refer to? Higher sight. Now, actually, Prabhupada translates this as higher taste. Now, taste is not necessarily something which is again sensual in the sense of something which is tasted by the tongue. It's just a way of speaking to convey the point of getting higher happiness. So param drishtva, a higher vision or a higher perception, gives also a higher satisfaction. And that higher satisfaction is what protects us from the agitation for the lower things. Now this param drishtva can refer, what does it refer to? Now, at one level it can refer to the soul. Krishna has not talked about himself till now. And he will talk about himself later in the Bhagavad Gita.
he will mention himself briefly into point 61. So the highest vision, the highest perception that can bring the best satisfaction and that can act as the best counter to dissatisfaction is Krishna himself. So when we fix our mind on Krishna, when we hear his holy name, when we hear his katha, when we take darshan of his deities, then that gives us a higher fulfillment, a higher satisfaction. And that makes us situated peacefully in the renunciation. Because once we get a higher satisfaction, then renunciation does not feel like deprivation. Because we understand that, oh, I'm getting some higher happiness. I'm being told not to enjoy there, but I'm getting some pleasure elsewhere. So therefore, it's not deprivation. Then we can become peaceful. So Param Drishtva at the highest level refers to a perception of Krishna, a connection with Krishna, especially a devotional connection with Krishna. Now, at this stage in the flow of the Bhagavad Gita, Param simply refers to the higher reality, the higher Drishtva, the higher vision. So now sometimes the word Drishtva is also used in a sense of understanding. Sometimes somebody says, somebody is making an argument and then the other person says, I see. Now, I see here means that actually I understand. So, Param Drishtva can refer to a higher perception. When a person is realized, when a person gets spiritual realization, then one can actually see the soul. But even before that happens, one can get intellectual comprehension, intellectual realization, intellectual conviction about the reality of the soul, and that can itself make one peaceful. Oh, I'm feeling agitated, tormented by the desires for sense gratification. But I suddenly read some scripture verse or I hear something and suddenly the insight sinks in. I'm not the body, I'm the soul. And the soul is meant for something far higher. And once that sinks in, once that comprehension dawns, then Param Drishtva, oh, there is better, there are better things waiting for me. Nivartate, become peaceful. So, Krishna is pointing out the weakness of the strategy of withdrawal, and that is the residual dissatisfaction that will be there. And Krishna then gives the means to fix the hole in the strategy. That is, he says, higher perception. The higher perception, the comprehension of the higher spiritual truth, ultimately Krishna, or at this stage it can even be the soul, that will help one to become fixed in renunciation. So, in our bhakti, we shouldn't focus so much on saying no, no, no. We're focusing on why we are saying no and how we can, what are we saying yes to. When we focus on that, then we will become peaceful and steady in our renunciation. Thank you.